How's it going, guys? Thanks for joining us tonight on our brand new episode, a brand new podcast of the Push Accept podcast, where we'll be evaluating trades sent to us throughout the year for the fantasy baseball season. I'm joined tonight by Donnie Miller with FWFB. Donnie, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter, so that way they can send you some trades, so that way we can add them to the next podcast.
Yeah, so it's at D-O-N-N-Y Miller FWFB, and yeah, you guys can just tweet me or Colin or message us any trades that you guys have.
Yeah, definitely. And you can find me on Twitter at CWeatherwax13. I'm doing the hosting duties tonight for Ben Brennis, who's a little under the weather. And our other co-host, Brad Wells, is busy giving his kids a bath right now. So it's just going to be me and Donnie for the first episode. So basically what we want to try and do this year is, just take in some trades that are sent to us via, the guys that follow us on Twitter. If you have a trade from your league that you weren't sure, who won the trade, send it over to us. If you want an outsider's opinion, just give us some basic details on what the league is, if it's a dynasty, if it's keeper, if it's redraft, just stuff like that. So that way we can kind of analyze it correctly. So to start off, our first podcast, we're going to use a couple trades. We're going to go over 10 trades that happened in our home leagues, so that way we can kind of get the ball rolling, see how the podcast is going to work out. So we'll get started with the first one here, and it's a pretty big trade. The first one on our list tonight is going to be Mike Trout and Jake Arrieta, and they were traded for JD Martinez and Manny Machado, and this is a six-keeper, 10-team league. And it's a 6x6 head-to-head with total bases and three outfielders as kind of the rules for this league. So, once again, Trout and Arrieta for JD Martinez and Manny Machado. Donnie, what did you think about this trade whenever it went down?
This is one of the harder trades that I think we're going to talk about today. I think we've talked about it before. Anytime you trade Trout, it's hard to say you've won. But I think this is – like getting two first round hitters back in JD and Machado. Not really a fan of Arrieta. So I would say I would take the JD and Machado side, but I mean I'm not going to feel real good about it still, cuz Trout is just that much better than every other player. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, so I tend to agree about Trout. I know I traded him last year in the same league for Giancarlo Stanton and Charlie Blackmon. So, like you said, it's really hard to trade away Trout. But for this deal, it happened very early on in the offseason. I believe it was in February, which was only a month ago, but still. And that included before Arrieta knew where he was gonna sign. So in hindsight, Trout and Arrieta for JD Martinez and Manny Machado in a league like this that counts total bases, I'll probably lean towards your side with JD Martinez and Manny Machado. They're both definitely keepers. Arrieta, based on his performance this year, could fall out of the keeper since they're only keeping six players in this league. So, like you said, anytime you trade Trout, it's a little difficult. It's hard to let go of the number one fantasy player in baseball besides Jose Altuve three of the past 4 years. So, but getting JD Martinez, you know what you're going to get, close to a 300 average in Boston with 30 home run power. And then Manny Machado, who's in his contract year, hoping to break out close to 300 average, anywhere from 30 to 40 home runs, and possibly some steals there, so that way he can up his contract number and try and beat Bryce Harper this season.
Yeah, I mean, with Machado, we don't know where he's going to be playing next year, but I mean, if he did sign with the Yankees, I would easily take the Machado JD side, but with that being kind of unknown, it's closer. I mean, Arrieta is probably not, is he an SP2 this year? I don't know. Probably not in this league. Probably an SP3.
Yeah, with Arrieta going to Philly, I think it's a better baseball move for them. I love, Arrieta being around Aaron Nola, who I know me and you both like this year. So it's a better baseball move for Philly. He might be a fringe SP2 this year, but like you said, I think he's going to be he's definitely on the decline. And, you know, getting $25 million a year on the decline is another conversation. But, yeah, so for this trade, I think J.D. Martinez and Manny Machado, that side definitely won. So moving over to our second trade, this trade was done, you know, during the offseason draft. This was a dynasty league. It's 12 teams. 7x7, and I believe two of the categories on the hitting side are OBP and total bases, and the other two on the pitching side are holds and quality starts. And so this is head-to-head with three outfielders, and the trade was Addison Russell and Chris Archer for the number two pick in the draft, which turned out to be Eloy Jimenez. I know we got a lot of flack in this league about this trade. This is, like I said, this is one of our home leagues, so me and Donnie are definitely in this one. So, Donnie, who did you think won this trade, Addison Russell and Chris Archer for Eloy Jimenez?
I mean, this trade started a lot of things, but I'll never pay for prospects. I don't believe in it. I know you're a little bit different about that, but like I told you when this trade was accepted at first, the Archer side, and it wasn't even close. You know, Eloy's probably at least a year away. I'm not going to hold it, players for over a year that don't give me anything. I'm going to take Archer as an SP2 and just roll with him. Eloy does have this crazy Stanton-like power, but, I mean, you just never know. Could he be Joey Gallo? Could he be Stanton? Could he be, you know, just a prospect that fails? There's so many outcomes with him, which Addison Russell is borderline even ownable in this league and a 12-teamer. But I'm going to take Archer as an SP2 in this league over Eloy.
Yeah, and I have some personal bias on this trade. I was actually the team that facilitated the Addison Russell and Chris Archer for Eloy Jimenez. I gave up Archer and Russell for Eloy. Based on my team constructions, I was lucky enough to have, you know, three of the top four pitchers out on my staff. So Chris Archer was just kind of a bonus for me. And the big thing with me on prospects, like you said, you know, you don't like to hold them for over a year if they're not going to give you anything. But I like to have a healthy balance between, you know, my starting lineup, my bench, and also, you know, the NA spots, which we have in this league on the Yahoo. So stashing, you know, Eloy in my NA spot, waiting for him to come up, waiting for him to fulfill the promise that he's shown as a prospect, was too much for me to pass up. And like I said, with Chris Archer, he was, you know, gravy on top of my pitching staff, and I can find, you know, someone like him, probably not that will give me the same stats, but I'm already getting those from three in the top four on the waiver wire or in another trade. And then Addison Russell was someone that I wasn't keeping to begin with. So whenever they asked me, you know, will I add in Russell? I was like, yeah, sure. You know, why not? But Eloy Jimenez, he's definitely a generational talent. Like you said, there's a lot of prospects that don't pan out. You know, he could be the next Stanton. He could be the next Justin Smoak, you know, whenever he was coming up. So you just never know. But I like to have that healthy balance of great major league players on my starting lineup and on my bench, and mix them with top prospects that are definitely going to help me out down the road. So that way I stay competing, you know, the whole time. In a dynasty league, you know, there's definitely teams that just tank. They stash just prospects. They're waiting for them to all flourish. And then there's people that go after it all year, you know, every year. But with me, I kind of want to have that healthy balance. I'll have a Nelson Cruz, but I'll definitely have a Eloy Jimenez or something like that.
Yeah, and also with this league, something to kind of add to it is we do have five NA spots, so that definitely makes, you know, holding prospects a little bit easier, where you can just stash Eloy, not on your bench, but in an NA spot. So, I mean, that definitely boosts the Eloy side, and given how good your pitching staff was, yeah, it made sense.
Yeah, so like you said, in this Dynasty League, we do have those NA spots. So having the NA spots gives you a lot of flexibility. I definitely, you know, I definitely recommend it whenever you're thinking about doing a dynasty league, is just having those NA spots or minor spots, whatever they're called on the site that you're using. So that way you can stash them and they don't go towards your player count. So if you want to pick up a streaming starting pitcher, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to drop a top prospect for them. You just stash them away. And then once they're ready, once they're called up, they're no longer eligible for that position. So you have to call them up. And at that time you pick up, you know, you drop whoever you need to in order to make room for them. But it's definitely a benefit whenever you're running a dynasty league to have those NA spots.
And in this league, it's a 12-teamer, and we have 5 NA spots per team. Yet there's still always a lot of prospects that aren't drafted or picked up. So, I mean, that was also a reason I took the Archer side. I mean, there's still top 50 prospects, top 75 prospects that are free agents. So that was one of the reasons I would take the Archer side.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, during the offseason draft this year, we were all surprised that Eloy was considered a free agent. Of course, there's Ohtani who went number one. And then there was also Fernando Tatis. So the number, I believe, 6 or 7 prospect in the MLB was on the free agent wire. So like you said, being a 12-team league, it's not, you know, there's still going to be the top prospects on the waiver wire. So I definitely understand where you're coming from on that trade.
Yeah, this was the draft where it was Bo Bichette went 1.
Ohtani fell. Bo Bichette, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what started everything. Because someone offered a Strasburg and Tommy Pham for the first pick.
And now, that's a little crazy. That's probably too far for me.
And there's players like D. Gordon available.
Yeah, that was true. So, so for that trade, I know me and Donnie have differing opinions, but most of the time it depends on the other guys that you have on your roster. Like, you know, seeing Archer in a deal for Eloy Jimenez is highly questionable, especially if you have him as your ace. But if you have him as their fourth starter, like I did, which most teams won't have, and it kind of makes sense, then that's where that will come about. So moving on to the third trade, it's actually in the same league, so still dynasty format, 12 teams, 7x7, head-to-head, and that includes OBP, total bases, and quality starts and holds. So this trade went down, which was pretty even for my opinion. You know, it's pretty difficult to pick a winner of this trade. The first side gave up Ozzie Albies and Aaron Judge for Carlos Correa and Yoan Moncada. So 2 perennial first-round picks in Judge and Correa, and 2 of the top second base, you know, young second basemen in the game, prospect-wise, you know, going opposite ways as well. So, what were your initial thoughts whenever you saw this trade pop up on your email, Donnie?
Yeah, when I saw this trade, I'm still a little unsure. Like you said, it's pretty fair. I have a hard time picking which side. But I lean the Correa side just because I love Correa. He's probably my second or third favorite player to own in a dynasty league. And then it was Moncada and Albies. I like Albies more, just better hit tool, so higher average, and both will get you a good will be good in steals and should give you some power. So I lean the Correa side, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, like you said, it's super close for me, you know, with Aaron Judge basically for Carlos Correa and then Albies for Moncada. A lot of differing opinions from industry guys on who's better between those 4 guys. With Aaron Judge, you know, he just provides an elite OBP, which is, you know, very hard to come by whenever you're as young as he is. But Carlos Correa could be the top shortstop for the next 10 years. So trading him away for Judge and Albies along with Moncada going in that deal, it leans me towards the side of Judge just because I'm such an Albies fan. Moncada has the pedigree. You know, he was given, I believe it was a record whenever Boston signed him before they traded him away to Chicago. I believe it was a record sign coming over from the Dominican. So he has the pedigree. Ozzie Albies has shown a little bit, you know, in his time last year while Moncada struggled. And I think Ozzie Albies could be a top 50 player this year. So getting Judge and Albies for Correa and Moncada was too much for me. You know, to discard. I'm definitely on the Judge and Albies side. Who do you have, Donnie, Albies or Moncada? Who would you rather have the rest of the as a dynasty team?
I'd rather have Albies, just higher average. They should both be about the same in power and steals. Albies probably has the better team around him for the next few years, unless all these prospects come up for the White Sox and they all hit good. But I'm probably taking Albies, but it's still close. I mean, you're almost getting the same thing out of each one.
Yeah, I'd have to agree about Albies' hit tool. It's just a lot better than Moncada is right now. He's a little bit more polished as a prospect. So, so Judge and Albies for me, Correa and Moncada for you. I'll kind of mark this one down in the notes, and we'll see who has a better season, kind of compare them on the player rater and see who, see who actually won this trade. So moving on to the fourth trade here, it's actually in the same league, so still Dynasty, 12 teams, 7x7, head-to-head with OBP total bases and quality starts and holds. So this one, I believe you were in, Donnie, and it was Starling Marte for Victor Robles. So I believe you got Robles, correct?
Yep.
You hypocrite, you. You just said you don't have to trade away for prospects. I'm going to start this one off.
This is an exception.
I'm going to start this one off. So Victor Robles, like you said, he is an exception. He might be, one of the starting outfielders for Washington on their opening day. They haven't officially sent him down to AAA yet. But Starling Marte, he has a lot of question marks. I know me and you have traded him back and forth a lot in this league. Just based off of his suspension last year. And also the stats that he's been able to provide as a pro. So he has an outlying season of, I believe it was 20 home runs. And then the next season, we're all drafting him as a top two-round player. And he produces 7 home runs, but he still provides you over 35 steals. And then so last year going in, we're like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to get. I don't know if I'm going to get the power from Marte, if I'm just going to get the steals. And then, of course, he gets suspended. So coming back from a suspension and not knowing what kind of guy you're going to get, I kind of like this deal for you, getting Victor Robles, because, he's a true five-tool talent. There's no doubt about his talent. He's going to be able to play in that outfield sometime this year if Michael A. Taylor struggles. And then, of course, next year with Bryce Harper most likely leaving, he's going to have a full-time job. So I kind of like this trade for you. What kind of ran through your mind whenever you offered this to begin with?
I mean, it was offered to me, I was like, no, there's no way I can do this. Like, I'm not going to pay for a prospect. Like, that's always what I'm thinking on these trades. But, I mean, Victor Robles has been compared to, Andrew McCutchen, like that type of skill set. With Acuna coming up and him kind of taking all the prospect hype recently and going in the top 100 and all this crazy stuff, everyone forgets about Robles. And, he's just been flying under the radar. And I was in the draft, like I was saying, there were some good players available, like Lorenzo Cain and D. Gordon, who I ended up getting both of. So I didn't really see the point into having D. Gordon and Starling Marte. Like, there's too many steals and not enough power and counting in RBIs. So I figured I might as well take this shot, try to get Robles and kind of see what happens.
Yeah, and like I said, I like it for you, and I completely agree that he's flying under the radar as Victor Robles is, especially with the Acuna hype, with Shohei Ohtani hype. So if those two weren't a part of the question, then he most likely would be the number one prospect in baseball. So, and like I said earlier, he's almost ready to contribute now. So I agree with you. Taking this deal was probably harder for you than it would have been for me. But whenever you can kind of supplement the Starling Marte for D. Gordon and Lorenzo Cain, they're going to provide, a little bit more home runs for Cain, and then D. Gordon and Cain definitely make up for the steals that you lost. So I definitely like this deal for you, especially being in a dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Taylor's, already a little bit banged up. Robles is just one injury away from being called up. I think I saw something today that he's not being considered for a bench spot. I don't know what that means exactly for him. if that just means he's being sent right down to AAA and they'll wait until he can basically start or what, but he's pretty close to coming up.
Yeah, they kind of left that, you know, up to us, because that could say, you know, look, he's going to go in with a starting spot on the major league roster this year, or he's going to be sent down, you know, depending on what Michael A. Taylor does. So, yeah, for this trade, I definitely think you won for the dynasty aspect. So our fifth trade here, it's actually going to be a different league. It's still a dynasty format, but it's just the traditional 5x5 head-to-head. And it's a 20-team league, so with four outfielders. So this is a very deep player pool, very deep prospect pool, and everything like that. So this trade was pretty big. It included a couple guys that we've already talked about, and JD Martinez. So JD Martinez and Gerrit Cole were traded for Nolan Arenado and Brad Boxberger. So Donnie, this is one of the leagues that you're in. I'm assuming the 5x5 is traditional, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so the person that got Boxberger is hoping that he can take over as the closer in Arizona. So give me your thoughts on Arenado and Boxberger for JD Martinez and Gerrit Cole.
So this was a team I took over with Ben, and a 20-team league, 20 teamers really hard. In those deeper leagues, I always try to just go with straight depth, just fill out, have a solid top 200 player at every position. So I was the one to actually trade Arenado for Gerrit Cole and JD Martinez. And I love JD Martinez this year, hitting fourth in Boston in that lineup. You know, 40, maybe 45 home runs this year. Gerrit Cole, not as much of a fan of. But being traded from the Pirates definitely helps. Should see a good amount of wins. And in a 20-team league, he's like my SP2. Boxberger, I didn't really mind that much. I was just trying to start building a staff, because the team was basically only had Arenado. So I've been making a bunch of trades just trying to get more depth.
Okay, yeah, I definitely see your side of it, trading Arenado. You know, whenever you first started talking and you're the one that gave up Arenado, I always – you know, he's kind of like Trout for me. You know, it's always hard to give up a top five talent like that. And in Arenado's case, he's still young. He plays in the best ballpark for power and average in the major league. So, you know, I'll probably agree with you that JD Martinez and Gerrit Cole was a good get. I'm a little bit higher, and I have been on Gerrit Cole than you. I love the move to Houston. I think that they know exactly what they need to do with pitchers. That's been talked about all offseason. They know exactly what Cole needs to do. They're going to be the best team for him to move forward with, and he's going to provide a lot of wins. And as far as trading away Boxberger, he could take over as the closer, or Archie Bradley struggles in spring training, don't translate, and he becomes the dominant closer that everyone thinks, and he only provides you with two saves this year. So I definitely understand, you know, trying to lengthen your staff. JD Martinez and Nolan Arenado aren't that big of a difference, and I definitely don't think it's Gerrit Cole difference. So I definitely think you won this deal. And you said you think JD Martinez could hit over 40 home runs like he did last year for you?
Yeah, I mean, in Boston, in that division, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I see him going to, you know, New York, for one example, and just hitting the ball, you know, right over that short porch, either opposite way or pulling it. But as far as 40 home run power, I think last year was a little bit of a fluke. I know he hit 38 in 2015 with Detroit, and that's not much of a hitter's park. But going to Boston, I think the most underrated thing is hitting against that green monster. So I think his average is definitely going to tick up, whereas last year he hit the 303. He's been about a 280 to 300 hitter his whole career. But even if he trades off some home runs for a better – you know, a better average, he's going to provide the counting stats, because it is a stacked lineup, like you said. So I definitely like this trade for you. All right. So we're going to do a word from our sponsor here, Vertex Betting. So go contact Eli Rosenfeld of Vertex Betting. If you like betting, I have the deal for you. Eli Rosenfeld, like I said, of Vertex Betting, is one of the best in the business. And unlike many betting information sites, he gives his information all for free. So there's no risk, no signups, no money needed to get the best betting insight in the business. Go check out vertexbetting.com and see why it beats all the other sites out there. And if you want to try out betting for the first time, click on the Bet Now link and sign up for MyBookie and or XBet. With a $45 deposit, you'll receive a $50 rebate from Vertex Betting. Just tell Eli from Vertex that FWFB or Justin Mason sent you for a $50 rebate on a $45 deposit. So go check out Eli. He's a great guy. We actually we incorporated him in a startup dynasty league this year, and he's never been a season long guy. He's always been DFS, so that was a lot of fun doing that in the off season. So moving on to the next trade that we have here. This one is in a six keeper league, 10 teams, kind of like the first one we talked about, with three outfielders. It's 6x6 head to head with total bases. And this trade was another big one that happened in the league that we're in. It was Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani, the hitter. So this is on Yahoo where they split Ohtani to two different players, which is the worst idea ever. And they traded Mookie and Ohtani, the hitter, for Goldie and Adam Jones. So, Donnie, what did you think whenever you saw this trade happen?
That Yahoo's the worst. No, Ohtani the hitters, I don't even understand. I mean, there's that report the other day that came out that they don't even think Ohtani can even be a major league hitter. So, I mean, Ohtani and Adam Jones, Adam Jones is definitely much better. So Mookie and Goldie, I lean Mookie just slightly, just based on all the craziness with the humidor. So I'm still going to take the Mookie side just because Adam Jones is like border. He's like a bench player in a 10 teamer. So I'm just going to take the better overall player in this one.
Yeah, I think I might disagree here because Ohtani the hitter, I think he's borderline unownable, especially based off of his spring training stats, where I think he's 1-for-17 in the major leagues. And he has so much to conquer, you know, being a starting pitcher in a brand new league, let alone trying to do both of them. So I like him whenever he's formed into one player where he has the DH and starting pitcher capability. So therefore, if he has two bad matchups in a week or only one start and it's a bad matchup, then you can throw him in your DH or throw him in your utility and see what you get out of him. But just giving me the hitting stats for Ohtani, that's not enough. And with Mookie and Ohtani, the hitter for Goldie and Adam Jones, I'm going to take the Goldie side all the time. Adam Jones, he's criminally underrated. He hits, 270 to 280 every year. Great counting stats with 20 to 25 home runs, 80 and 80 every year. He could be a bench bat, but there's also two utility spots in this league. So he'll definitely fill one of those. And, I definitely lean Mookie over Goldie. Mookie had his worst season last year, and he was still a top 10 fantasy player. But still, Goldie and Adam Jones is too much for Mookie and Ohtani. So I'll go Goldie and Adam Jones.
Yeah, I mean, with Mookie and Goldie, they basically have the same profiles for the most part. Maybe you get a little bit more speed and a little bit more consistency with speed with Mookie, but I mean, for the most part, you're getting pretty much the same counting stats, steals, and home runs. The average Mookie's was, I think, like .268 last year. So Goldie may have him in batting average, but Mookie's also hitting first for Boston, I'm pretty sure. So that could definitely swing things back to the Goldie and Adam Jones side.
Yeah, he's definitely going to hit in the top third of that lineup. So I think what Boston wants to do, and this might change, real soon, because I think they have Hanley Ramirez penciling as their number three hitter, which would be great 10 years ago, but unfortunately it's 2018. So I think they have Mookie and then Benintendi, Hanley Ramirez, and then JD Martinez to start off the year. I think eventually Mookie will either, move down to two or three, and he'll provide those counting stats. But still, for me, Goldie, so consistent. He'll still hit, even with the humidor, he'll probably still hit 30 home runs. And if he starts to, struggle on the home run front, he'll just start stealing again, which he hasn't done. I believe last year was his worst steal total. So, but he has shown 35 steal potential, and getting him and Adam Jones for Mookie and Ohtani the hitter was too much for me to pass up.
Yeah, and the Diamondbacks are always a team that likes to steal. So some people are always worried that Goldie's not gonna, like, he's not gonna consistently steal bases every year. But I mean, as of right now, it's hard not to lock him into like 15 plus stolen bases.
Yeah, I agree. And he's falling so far in drafts this year. You know, he was a perennial top four pick. You know, if you wanted to go Trey at number three, behind Altuve and Trout, then Goldie and Arenado were the only, you know, two guys that were being considered as number four. But I just think, you know, he's falling so far. He's falling to, you know, 15th overall, which is just crazy to me because, like you said, he just provides that stability in the counting stats, the stability in the average and everything like that. So, yeah, I think Goldie's going to have an underrated season. He's falling way too far in all these drafts that I've done so far.
Yeah, people keep forgetting, like, why we draft Goldie so high. It's not for the 30 home runs. It's for the 20 stolen bases, maybe not 20 every year, the 15 to 20 stolen bases from your first baseman. Like, that's the big deal, because there's not many first basemen that steal bases. And even the ones that are like Anthony Rizzo, who may steal a couple or they may steal none.
Right. And I know you said Anthony Rizzo, but he's a second baseman, so he doesn't even count.
Okay.
That's another reason to hate Yahoo. So moving on to the next trade. This goes back to another 20-team dynasty league with three outfielders, and it's a points league. So it's a little bit different than the head-to-head categories that we've gone over so far, being that it's a points setup. But this trade was two Rockies for two really great overall players. It's Nolan Arenado and Brendan Rodgers, the prospect, and they were traded for Chris Bryant and Michael Conforto. So based on the news this past week with Michael Conforto, which we talked about on the Dirt Dogs podcast this past week, Michael Conforto might even start playing some spring training games next week in the Grapefruit League. So that's very exciting, I know, for you, Donnie, because you love Michael Conforto. You kind of got me on to owning him everywhere, you know, last year before he suffered that incredible injury. So Arenado and Brendan Rodgers for Chris Bryant and Michael Conforto. What'd you think about this trade?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as familiar with points leagues. I mean, Ben's the expert of the points leagues, but just looking at it value-wise, I don't know. I kind of just lean Chris Bryant and Conforto. Like you were saying, I love Conforto. I wish he wasn't on the Mets. I don't agree with how they handle most situations and how they handle injuries for the most part. It seems like they might be rushing Michael Conforto back, which is definitely scary. So, but Chris Bryant and Arenado last 2 years ago they're pretty close to each other.
Yeah, they definitely were. And, you know, Chris Bryant coming off the MVP season, Nolan Arenado being, you know, 40 home runs, 130 RBIs for two straight seasons. So coming into drafts last year, they were being drafted, you know, neck and neck. And then Chris Bryant had, you know, his worst season, kind of like Mookie did, but he was still a top 20 option. He still hit .295. He still provided 29 home runs and 111 RBIs and a lot of runs in that Cubs offense. So I'm going to have to agree with you here. I'm not as big on Brendan Rodgers as a lot of the industry is. So Conforto against Brendan Rodgers is just so one-sided to me. With the points league aspect, most of the time the points league, it will subtract for strikeouts and add for walks. So that being said, the Conforto draws a lot of walks. Chris Bryant has great plate discipline, draws a lot of walks, and it gives you the same amount of points for a walk as it does for a single. So that being the setting for this league and it being a 20-team dynasty, having Chris Bryant and Michael Conforto just sets you so far ahead of, you know, a lot of the other teams that are either rebuilding or built to win this year, because they're both young, They're both very accomplished, and I think they'll both be better than Arenado and Brendan Rodgers moving forward.
The thing with Chris Berea that you have to worry, well, everyone should worry about, is the counting stats. I mean, Madden loves to mess up that lineup, hit Schwarber first, do all this crazy stuff where, you know, having opportunities for RBIs can always be kind of a mess, and that was part of the reason Chris Bryant had such a down year, because of the RBIs and the opportunities.
Yeah, that's true. But in Madden's defense, he really hasn't had a leadoff hitter that he can trust up until now, in my opinion, with Ian Happ. So, and with Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, those are two guys that he knows not to mess with, because we will go after them as fantasy players. But more importantly, because they are, you know, the rocks of that team, they deserve the 162 games, you know, that they can provide. So I do have the same concern with you on Michael Conforto, just because he plays for the Mets. So hopefully the Mets just trade him away and we don't have to worry about all the crap that comes along with being a Met. But yeah, with the Cubs lineup, I think Chris Bryant batting second or third, he'll still provide those counting stats. And I think now that they've solidified the leadoff spot with Ian Happ, I think he'll still provide, you know, elite counting stats, kind of like Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, if Conforto was on any other team other than the Mets, this would be easy. I'd take Chris Bryant and Conforto. I'm still going to take that side. But with Brendan Rodgers, I mean, where is he going to play? When's he going to play? It's all question marks. So I'm still going to take the Chris Bryant and Conforto side after everything.
Right. And even if Rodgers comes up after a month, say Conforto comes up after a month, so they might just be completely the same. But like you said, with Rodgers, unless they get rid of LeMahieu or Story struggles, or they get rid of him, he will have a hard time, you know, finding playing time on that infield. So moving on to the next one, it's still going to be a dynasty format. This one's a 16 teamer. And I see in the notes here, Donnie, you put weird categories. I'm assuming this is one of your leagues.
No, this is the ESPN one.
Okay.
With Brad, the dynasty one.
Yeah.
Batting average against is a category.
I think OPS is one.
Yeah.
Walks has his own.
Pitched is a category, I think.
Yeah, that one's like 12 by 12, so it's really ridiculous. I like how you worded it as weird. It kind of definitely explains it all. So this trade was very interesting to me, even because I'm a prospect lover, but this is so one-sided, I just can't get over it. So the trade was Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Jacob Faria for Josh Donaldson and Cesar Hernandez, and that is so one-sided to me. It sounds wrong to, you know, say this trade out loud. It's Donaldson all the way for me. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, like we said earlier, I'll never pay for prospects. I mean, if Vlad Jr. is ever as good as Josh Donaldson, I mean, what's the chances of that even happening? 10%, 20%? I mean,
Probably less.
The hype's around him and everything, but not everybody lives up to the hype. Most of the time, these prospects fail, or they struggle, or they're not what we expected them to be. I mean, Donaldson's a top 5 third baseman, a top 15, top 20 player overall. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's not even close for me, even though I'm the prospect guy. Vlad is so valuable in a dynasty league, but you know, giving up Donaldson, who, like you said, is a top 5 third baseman, a top 20 overall pick in most redraft leagues and most new startup dynasty leagues, and then add in Cesar Hernandez, who's going to give you close to a .300 average with, you know, 10 to 15 home runs, 20 to 25 steals. I know he has Scott Kingery kind of breathing down his neck, but they're trying Kingery out all over the outfield, all over the infield, so that way they can try and hold on to Cesar Hernandez. And even if he gets traded, you know, he'll still have a job wherever he goes. So I really like this trade for whoever got Donaldson and Cesar Hernandez. I think, you know, giving up Vlad and Faria for them was awesome.
Yeah, Brad, the other co-host, he'll be on the show soon, hopefully the next one. He was the one that actually got the Donaldsons the Donaldson, Cesar Hernandez side. And with this league, I would also say that we don't have NA spots. You know, you have to put Vlad on your bench. So that also is a big thing when you're talking about keeping prospects.
Yeah, that's definitely a huge, you know, a huge risk having him on your bench. I believe it's a shallow bench, like three or four guys too. So, you know, having him take up one of those spots is detrimental to your team, especially being a 16 teamer. So, yeah, I'm sure Brad, if he was on this podcast tonight, he'd be gloating. He'd be, you know, just loving life after getting this trade done. So, going back to our keeper league for this next trade, it's the 10 teams, six keepers with 6x6 head-to-head categories with total bases and quality starts. This one was another mega trade, including a couple, you know, a couple first-round, second-round caliber hitters. It included Edwin Encarnacion and Carlos Correa for Corey Seager and Joey Votto. So a top two shortstop for a top five shortstop, and then a top two first baseman for a top five first baseman. What do you think about this one, Donnie?
I was actually the side that got Correa, so I'm gonna have to take that side. But yeah, with this trade, I just really wanted Correa. I kind of wanted to get rid of Corey Seager before, you know, that he gets injured or he's misses time. You know, people have been worried about his back for a little while now. So I'm definitely going to try to, you know, sell him off and get close to what he's worth. So yeah, getting Correa was a big boost for me. I didn't want to give up Votto, especially with, I'm pretty sure OBP is a category in this one. So that was big, but getting Encarnacion's good. Still be a pretty good first baseman for me for the next couple years, at least.
Yeah, I agree. I know, you know, a couple of years ago, whenever Corey Seager came up, you know, me and you were definitely drooling over his talent. But coming to last year, he, you know, started to show the injury bug and started to show that the Dodgers are going to throw him on that phantom 10-day DL whenever they get the chance, just to kind of get him sped up in his recovery and everything. So in our dynasty league that we talked about earlier, I sold him off so that way I didn't have to deal with someone like that. So trading Seager and Votto for Edwin Encarnacion and Carlos Correa was a pretty good return for you. I know it must have been very hard for you to get rid of Votto, just because he's a, you know, probably the top overall first baseman in an OBP league ahead of Goldie. So, but getting E5, Edwin Encarnacion and Carlos Correa back for those two, I think it's pretty comparable, and I definitely love the return.
Yeah, I have Jose Altuve also, and so when we were talking about this trade, negotiating it, that's who he wanted for Correa. So being able to keep Altuve and still get Correa, it was an easy trade. I still think it's even, but I just love Correa. It's too much to, you know, not take that side.
Yeah, and being that it's a 10-team league, you'll still find a lot of guys on the waiver wire that aren't available in deeper leagues. But having Correa and Altuve, who both play for the Astros, does that concern you at all going into the season?
No, I mean, there's nothing to worry about with those two. It's just like Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant. Like, those are just their two best players. Those are their guys that are, you know, they're always going to be in the middle of the lineup. There's nothing to really worry about.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. I mean, we talked about it on another podcast in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, how me and Ben Brennis, who we co-own a team, and we took with our first three-round picks Altuve, George Springer, and Justin Verlander, and I was not feeling, you know, too great about having, you know, three guys from the same team, albeit from the Astros, who's definitely a World Series contender. But I kind of like to spread out, you know, just in case, you know, the whole team goes on a slump, you know. But like you said, having Altuve and Correa, it's going to be hard to find that during the season.
I mean, if there's any team that you want to just like stack up on, it's got to be the Astros. I mean, what's Bregman hitting this year, like six? I mean, they're just loaded.
Yeah, they have to move him up in the lineup, in my opinion. I mean, he's just too good of a player. So moving on to our last trade, and this is the one I think we definitely saved the best for last, because this one's absolutely insane. So this is a 12-team dynasty format. That's most of what these trades are. They're dynasty or keeper. But we'll definitely take, you know, redraft questions, redraft trades, dynasty and keeper throughout the season. This is just kind of what's happened in the off season, you know, in the downtime, just trying to get ready for the start of the season. But this trade is Robert Acuña, which is kind of crazy to say his name now. I'm sure he should have been, you know, a couple of these trades at least, especially being the dynasty format. But Robert Acuña and Charlie Blackmon for Mike Trout. Donnie, I already know what side I'm on. What side are you on?
Trout. I mean, I don't, there's nothing I need to say. It's Trout. It's not close. I mean, obviously whoever sent us this trade didn't give us a whole lot of information. It's just, they just told us 12 team dynasty, but I'm just going to take Trout and that's it.
I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. You know, I love Robert Acuña. I have him in every dynasty league that I'm a part of. I haven't drafted him in a redraft yet because I'm not sure how much playing time he's going to get this year. But having the number one overall prospect in a dynasty league, I know it didn't work out for Profar, but it's worked out in the past with Bryce Harper and some of the other guys like that. But getting Acuña and Charlie Blackmon for Mike Trout, I don't think the difference between Charlie Blackmon and Mike Trout is Robert Acuña. I think it's a lesser player. So getting that huge upside in Robert Acuña and getting the consistent bat in Charlie Blackmon, who might even move down in the lineup to number two or number three this year, providing him more counting stats. I love this trade for whoever traded Mike Trout.
I just have a hard time with Blackmon and what to expect with his home runs. That's the one thing that I worry about with Blackmon.
Yeah, I can see the home run argument, but he also tailed off on his steals last year. But he's still leading off in the best park in the majors. He has the elite guys behind him in Nolan Arenado that are going to drive him in every time he gets on base. So I know Blackmon was the number one guy on the Raider last year. I think even if you extrapolate out Mike Trout's stats for the time that he played, I still think Blackmon would have beat him on the player Raider. So getting the number one overall player from last year and the number one overall prospect for Mike Trout, I know, like we said at the beginning, it's hard to trade Mike Trout, but getting those two guys back is a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, the crazy thing with Charlie Blackmon is a couple years ago, he was like a 15-30 guy, like 15 home runs, 30 stolen bases. And then last year, he hits 37 home runs and steals 14 bases.
Yeah.
Like he just completely flipped.
Yeah, that's, and that might have been the juice ball. I mean, that's what everyone's saying. But even whenever he provided that 15 and 30, it's still valuable enough to, whenever you include Robert Acuña coming back from Mike Trout, I think they'll definitely make up the difference that Trout provides.
I'm looking at what he did last year, and now I kind of want to switch sides, but at the same time, I'm still going to take Trout. I mean, Blackmon had 137 runs, 37 home runs, 104 RBIs, 14 stolen bases, and he hit 331. That's
video game numbers to me. That, yeah, that's insane.
I mean, if he comes anything close to that again, which who knows? I mean, then the Blackmon side wins.
Yeah, and I'm looking at his page right now. In 14 and 15, he still managed to hit 17 and 19 home runs. Like you said, he doubled the steal production, almost tripled it one year with 28 and 43 steals in each year. But he's always going to provide me with that 288 to 330 like he did last year. I know he had a crazy high batting year last year with 371. So I think his middle is going to be a 300 hitter. You know, in 2016, in an injury-shortened season, because I remember owning him, he had the plantar fasciitis. He still hit almost 30 home runs, 111 runs, 17 steals. So that guy hitting, you know, 330, and even if he goes down to 30 home runs, I still think he's going to be that valuable because his counting stats are unbelievable.
Yeah, the thing with Trout, the reason I take Trout is just the upside is just too much. I mean, he's been a player that's he was pretty banged up last year. Only had 402 at bats last year. Still had 33 home runs and 22 stolen bases while hitting .306. That's the reason that I just take Trout, just because he's the better player. And in a shallower league like this, that's I'm just going to take the better player. I mean, 40-40, is that, I would say that's a possibility for Mike Trout if he stays healthy. They revamped the offense. I mean, I'm just going to take Trout.
Yeah, it's possible that he goes 40-40, but I don't think Socha wants him to run as much as we want him to as fantasy owners. Let me ask you it this way. I'm kind of going to make up my own trade. Since you hate stashing prospect guys, I want to get your thoughts on like a half-season wonder in the major leagues. So what if the deal was Hoskins and Blackman for Trout? Which side would you go to that time?
Hoskins and Blackman?
Yeah, for Trout.
I mean, this is like what we were talking about with the first trade. Anytime you trade Trout, I just feel like you're never winning. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's a little closer just because Hoskins will be up most of the year. And with Acuna, it's just, I mean, was it April 15th was the date that they predicted?
Yeah, that's what they're saying now, but you can never believe them until it actually gets to that day.
If the Braves just struggle out right out of the gate, I mean, they could keep him down the whole year. I don't know. I'm still probably going to take Trout. I don't believe in the 30 home runs from Blackman.
All right. Well, that's fair. Obviously, you're going to keep Trout every chance you get, and I'm gonna ask the person that's trading for Trout to give me everything they have. So that's where we differ a little bit. Listen, guys, thanks so much for listening. Like I said, this is our first installment of the Push Accept podcast. I'm filling in as the host today for Ben Brennis, who's out sick. Donnie Miller joined me tonight. Brad Wells might join on a couple times whenever we do the podcast. So, Donnie, tell them what you're working on and where they can find you on Twitter one more time.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll be able to do this show. I don't know if we'll be able to do it every week, but maybe every 2 weeks. It kind of just depends on if you guys can send us content. I mean, the more content you guys send, the better. And when you do send trades to us, try to give us as much information as possible. Maybe even what you were thinking or the rosters of your team and the other team involved. You know, anything helps us when we're trying to talk about it and pick a side. And, you know, hopefully Ben and Brad can join us. And on Twitter, it's at Donnie Miller FWFB. You know, just, you know, tweet me or message me any trades you guys have.
Yeah, definitely reach out to us on Twitter. We're all available. We keep, you know, a running document of all the trades that we're going to get. So if you send them, they might make it on the show. So if you can't reach Donnie, go ahead and send them to me. I'm at CWeatherWax13, signing off for Friends with Fantasy Benefits. Until next time, guys, thanks so much for listening.